Praise the Lord. He is worthy this morning. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 in your King James Bible. Boy, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. We could stand for hours on end, rest of the day, just bragging on the Lord and all that He's done, all the prayers He's answered, all the lives that He's changed and saved by His grace. And just all the good things that He does for us. I don't know what you're used to, but you're looking at a preacher that thinks the Lord's mighty good this morning. Amen. If I could tell you anything that I'd want you to leave here with this morning, it is this, that the Lord is good. The Lord is good. He's good to sinners, and He's good to saved folk. He's good to folk in the world. He's good to folk in the church. The Lord's just a good God this morning. And I was thinking, as Brother Tim is talking about doing all, you know, getting baptized after you get saved, join the church after you get saved. The difference in us and a lot of religions today, we believe you do that because you're saved, not to be saved. There's a lot of things going around today about what a man's got to do to be saved. And listen, we believe when you get saved, we believe like we've sung in a lot of the songs this morning, there's a change takes place. And Christ Jesus our Lord makes a difference. But you've got to understand, amen, all that stuff comes about because you're saved, amen, not to be saved. I want to deal with that if the Lord will help us a little while this morning. I know the time. I know where we are. And we've got a lot of visitors. Some of y'all's not used to going to church like this, and that's fine. We're so glad you're here. But we want you to get something this morning from God's Word. Would you stand with me? And we'll let you stretch your legs. We'll give a little reverence to reading of God's Word. Several verses I want to read this morning in Galatians chapter number 3. Now, if you're saved and a member of this church, I need your prayers and your participation, okay? Don't leave me up here by myself. Bible said, wherefore then, verse 19, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. And by the way, there is only one God today, and He's the God of the Bible. His name is not Allah. His name is not Buddha. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one God today. Now the Bible said in verse 21, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if, notice that condition, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Father, we come to you this morning. We're thankful of being in the house of God. Thank you for the good songs of Zion that have stirred my heart and reminded me of the great power of the grace of God in salvation. Thank you for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed 2,000 years ago for my sin and the sins of those that are gathered in this place today and the sins of the entire world. We're thankful today for Jesus. Father, I ask you now for the next few moments, would you help us? Touch my voice, touch my mind, and may we be filled with all manner of the power of God this morning. And Lord, you know the subject at hand, Lord, we sure do need. Lord, to make it simple to these that are listening today. And God, I can't do that without the help of the Holy Ghost. And so I'm asking you, Lord, this morning, would you please, Lord, speak through us. And Lord, may it fall upon more than the human ear, the hearing ear. God, may, Lord, the seed of the Word of God find a place in the heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl under the sound of our voice today. And Father, when all is said and done, may the Spirit of God walk through this place and convict sinners of their sin. And Lord, draw them to saving knowledge in the Lord Jesus Christ. May we understand today that our own righteousness, according to law, could never bring redemption and salvation to us. And Father, may sinners cast their faith on the Lord and Savior, the only Savior, Lord Jesus, today. And Lord, we'll thank you. We ask it all now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. And we come to the book of Galatians. I need you to just follow me for a minute this morning. And there's no way I'll be able to give you everything that I have on my heart to give you. We'll give you this morning till the Lord says to cut it off. Listen to me this morning. When you began to study the book of Galatians in Paul's writing to this church and the churches in Galatia, you'll find that this book deals with the spiritual freedom that comes by the grace of salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus. Paul had already been there. And Paul had already preached the gospel of grace, and the Galatians that were there had received it. Their lives had been changed. They had been saved by that amazing mercy and grace of God. Their lives, my friend, had been turned upside down. And my friend, they finally knew of the true meaning of life and of living, that of being brought into relationship with God by the person of the Lord Jesus. You'll understand this historically. We understand that there was a crowd that came in behind Paul and began to try to teach them that the grace of God was not enough, that Jesus Christ was not enough, and the gospel that had been declared to them was not enough to change their lives and to save them and to keep them saved, but that there were certain matters of the law that they were going to have to adhere to, even being Gentiles and heathens and pagans that had been saved. And there was other things that had to be added to what they had already put their faith in. And Paul is writing back to them to remind them, and it was not the law, it was not a list of regulations and things you had to do and things you couldn't do, and it changed their life and saved them, but rather the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that amazing grace of God that had made the difference. And specifically, when you come to chapter number 3, and we didn't read it in its entirety this morning, but it's dealing primarily with, or specifically with today, that of the promises that have been given of the Old Testament character, Old Testament man, by the name of Abraham. He had been given great and exceeding promises from God. And my friend, that's where these Jewish people and their seed has sprung from this man Abraham. Now Paul is dealing with these promises of God made to Abraham, and how that they are fulfilled not in the keeping of the law, not in doing good, not in fulfilling a list of regulations, but rather, and my friend, they are fulfilled in a person by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you will look back with me in verse number 14, the Bible said that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, that is you and I. We're not Jews today, we are Gentiles. And Paul said that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And so what is Paul teaching? Paul is saying that you're Gentiles, but that what God even promised to Abraham in bringing redemption and salvation and raising up a seed to redeem the human race, and my friend, it is received even by Gentiles through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's no wonder the Apostle Paul made this statement to young Timothy in his first letter to young Timothy, when he said, "I know in whom I have believed." He said, "It ain't a what." He said, it ain't anything but a whom. It is a who. I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day of judgment, on that day when the Lord comes and returns again. Paul, I understand this morning, that it was the Lord that his faith was in. He committed his soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He wasn't saved before God by fulfilling some deed or doing some good work, but rather Paul was saved by putting his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does all this have to do with you and that? Look back in verse number 8 of chapter number 3 of Galatians. The Bible said, and the Scripture, foreseeing that God, I love this statement, that God would justify the heathen through faith. Amen. You know what we are today? Amen. We're nothing but a bunch of heathens, a bunch of Gentile dogs, a bunch of people that are strangers to what God gave to Abraham. But the Lord Jesus Christ and the saving grace of God, God has brought us in, amen, and has justified the heathen by faith or through faith. Amen. I'm glad this morning. Listen, what is Paul arguing? He's arguing there's no way that you could have kept the law. There's no way that you could have been good enough in keeping the law and obtaining a righteousness by the law, being heathens and Gentiles, that you could ever have been saved by the grace of God. And so the argument in Galatians, and specifically in this chapter that we're reading from today, is that Paul is trying to get their attention back to the Lord Jesus Christ and understand that the law could never justify a man. In fact, in verse 11 of this chapter, he plainly said, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not a faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. And I like what he said in verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. And then we have our verse again in verse 14. Amen, friend, we have received the blessing of Abraham. Amen, by and through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now understand this today. We believe the church is important. We believe baptism is important. We even believe, and you'll come to know it here in a moment, and we believe the law is important today. We believe it's important and a good thing for a man to do good and to be moral, and that friend to abstain from things and adhere to other things, and these things are good. But you listen and understand good and well today. Amen. You can be the best among us today. The Bible, the law, and the Scripture have concluded that all are under sin and there is none righteous, no, not one. Not my good deeds are going to save me, and your good deeds are not going to save you. My friend, we must understand salvation. Amen. There is no salvation in any other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Jesus or hell. It's Jesus or sin. And Jesus is the only Savior for mankind. That is Paul's argument, if you will, in this chapter. The argument of the Apostle Paul here is that the law is important, but my friend, it's not as important as they had made it out to be. It wasn't important in the matter that they had begun to believe that it was important enough. And my friend, a man was justified by faith. He must live by faith, understand a way that God gave the law in the first place. And so consider this with me this morning. And these Galatians had been deceived to believe, and my friend, they could do something, and in doing something, they would gain the pleasure of God, that they would gain the approval of God. You've got to understand what the Bible says about the law of God. And in fact, even you say, what is the law of God? Let me say this morning. The law of God, I believe, deals with the Scripture. In fact, several times in Galatians chapter number 3, he's writing about the law, and then he makes this statement. We already read one of them back in verse number 8, and the Scripture. Amen. The Scripture, notice with me in verse number 22, but truth of the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. And the law deals with that which God has commanded, and God has said, and God said, thou shalt and thou shalt not. It's amazing. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself right now, but it's amazing in our generation. And my friend, people don't like to be told what God said you could and could not do. Bible said thou shalt not steal. We get up and we preach it, and you know who gets mad at that? The thief gets mad at that. The Bible said thou shalt not commit adultery. When we get up and we preach that as the law of God, that's what God said. That's what God expects out of mankind. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And yet in 2014 there's a crowd that said we do not want to hear of the law of God. Where do we learn that? We learn it from the Scripture. Hang with me now. What does the Bible say about the law? I won't get much further than this morning, but if you will follow along with me in the Bible, and I'll give you several verses. It don't matter what I think, it matters what God said in His Word. And so hear these Scriptures well. Let me say a word this morning out of John chapter number 1 about the commencement of the law. The Bible tells you now where the law began and where that the law came from, or who it was given by. In John chapter number 1, the Bible said in verse number 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We have a verse here of extract. I have a verse that deals with the law and where the law came from, who it was given by, and yet in this verse it is contrasted with the fact that grace and truth, the truth of the gospel, has come by Jesus Christ. It ain't in the Pope today. It's not even in Brother Jeff today. It matters not what I say, but it matters in my friend that the Bible tells you that grace has came by Jesus Christ. We see the commencement of the law. We can go back into the Old Testament as Moses and the children of Israel were encamped round about Mount Sinai, and there was thunderings and lightnings and smoke, and a cloud of darkness descended upon that mountain. And God said to Moses, and He wanted him to come up on the mountain, and He was going to talk to him. And there, my friend, God began to speak to Moses and tell Moses His law. And Moses was to in turn turn to the people and deliver to them and to give to them. We know, listen, part of that law consisted of what we know in our day as the Ten Commandments. And on them, on the tables of stone, God began to write those Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other God before thee. Amen. Thou shalt make unto thee no graven image or likeness of anything. Amen. And He goes down through there and He deals with the law concerning a man's relationship to God. And He gives the law there, even in them Ten Commandments. And the commandments in the law was much broader and bigger than that. We can't even match up to the first 10. Are you listening? And He goes down through, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not commit adultery. Amen. And He goes down and deals with man's relationship to man and God's law concerning how we live our lives. And my friend, where did it come from? It came from Moses. And God regarded that as His law to mankind. It commenced with that ministry of Moses. Now, consider this with me, the character of the law. A character of the law. Look with me in Romans in chapter number 7. Romans chapter number 7. Please stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Amen. I'm starting to feel all alone up here now. Amen. Watch it now, the character of the law. And here's what some are saying in our day, even in religious circles, even in church circles, they say, the law is bad and the law is awful and we got to do away with the law. And the law is a terrible thing and there's no place for the law in the age of grace. And I say this morning, on this Sunday morning, amen, that they are absolutely dead wrong. And here's what Billy Mitchell said, and I tend to agree. He said that the law can't save you, but you can't get saved without it. Are you listening? The law of God is important. Why? Because of the character of the law. Oh, this is what the Bible said in Romans 7 in verse number 12. Paul is writing, he said, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy. holy and just and good. What are we learning? We're learning that the law of God is a good thing. A character of the law is holy. In fact, the very law that we're speaking of, when you read in the Bible things that God said you can do or you ought to do or you better do or that He expects you to do, and then you read things that God said, I expect you not to do this, what it is telling you, it is a reflection, because it is holy, it is a reflection of the holiness of God. And I remind you, He's a holy God. Amen. Listen, we're not talking about a man-made God today. We're talking about the God that Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 6 in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord also hand lifted up. And the Bible said when he seen him there, amen, them seraphims flew around and they cried out night and day, forever and forever, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. This is not a man-made God. He's not a stump or a stove. He's not a fish or a bird. Amen. Listen, we don't carry Him around in our pocket. The God of the Bible is a holy God that gave a holy law. Every time you and I sin, we sin against the holy God that has told us through His holy law what He expects out of you and I. I get amazed how many people, amen, try to argue with me about their own goodness. And my friend, there's no such thing as your goodness. You're not good enough to go to heaven. Amen. You're not holy enough to go to heaven. And God gave His law as a means to, amen, remind you in that. And He's a holy God, and in His presence will dwell no unholy thing. The law is holy. That's why our generation don't like it. We preach against these billboards that's hanging up in the shadow of our church. And the moonshining and the drunkenness and the sacking and the adultery and the fornication and a lascivious living we're in our day. Why do we do that? Because the character of the law is holiness. God in His law has forbidden men. And the law, my friend, is reflecting that the God that gave that law is very much a holy God. You're wicked. And I'm wicked. There's nothing good in me and there's nothing good in you. My friend, the law was given as something that stands as absolutely good and just and holy. You say, but I don't like it. The reason you don't like it and the reason I don't like it, come on now, is because I'm unholy and that's holy. You hold the Word of God in your hand. Amen. You know what you hold it? You're holding something that is holy and just and good. You're holding something that goes beyond the opinion of a man. Something that goes beyond the way you think about things and the way your grandma thinks about things. Amen. God is saying through the character of His law, this is what I think about things, and He gives it in a very holy way. Is a law that is written and penned, Brother A.L., by the very finger of God.
That's true.
Preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying the character of the law today is that of holiness.
Yes.
Hang on, I'm going somewhere. Notice with me this morning. Notice with me, we see in the Scripture the commencement and the character, but notice the confines of the law. This is important. Preacher, if it's holy and it's just and it's good, then why is it that a man can't be saved back on the works and the deeds of the law? Consider this with me. In the book of Acts, I believe it's chapter number 13. The book of Acts in chapter number 13, and we'll look in verse 38 and in verse number 39. Amen. Are you with me? Say amen. The Bible said, be it known unto you, Acts 13:38, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, speaking of Christ Jesus, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. And I stop right there before I read verse 39 and say that's what we're preaching today. That's going to be the end of the message today. That through this man, Christ Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. You are a sinner and you are unholy and you are wicked through Christ Jesus and receiving Him and believing Him and casting all you are into all He is, there is forgiveness of sin. Amen. It ain't in a preacher today. Amen. You don't get forgiveness because you had a good granny or a good papaw. Amen. You get forgiveness of sin because of a preaching of Christ Jesus being the only means to be saved. Notice what he said in verse 39. Amen. I'm feeling about to feel like preaching now. Bible said, and by him, who? Christ Jesus. And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. What in the world is Paul preaching here? He's preaching that there's only one way to be saved, and that is through the Lord Jesus. You can only be justified and forgiven of your sin, and your sin washed away, and your life changed by Jesus Christ. And we come to understand in Paul's preaching that he plainly identifies that you are not justified by doing better. Get the Ten Commandments out and live them as best you can from today to the day you die. My friend, you'll never fulfill it. You've already failed them. Amen. You say, well, I've only failed one of them. The Bible said that when you fail in one, you failed in them all. You can't separate one from the other. And so, amen, if you've lied, my friend, you've been guilty of breaking every commandment that God has gave. Amen. I know where we are. We're in the mountains of Tennessee. Amen. And listen, we knock on doors and we try to talk with folk. And this area is plagued with, amen, the good old hillbilly boys that, friend, they got some same grandma somewhere that knew God. Amen. Got a same mom and daddy somewhere that knew God. And they're clinging to that and they're claiming that. Amen. That because they got somebody that they know that's been genuinely born again. And my friend, they're good in some way. My friend, and your goodness will never justify you. Never. It's the confines of the law, and the law is holy and good and it's just as it is. Amen. It's not the keeping of the law of Moses and a legion. It's confined in that it cannot save you. Amen. Notice with me according to Romans 3 and in verse number 20. Are y'all with me now? Lord, I'm feeling some preaching coming on. Amen. Hang with me. I'll be done in just a few minutes now. I'll cut her off. But Romans chapter number 3 and in verse 20, the Bible said, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Is that what your King James Bible said? Are you listening now? We know the Word of God is telling you that is holy and just and good and perfect as the law of God is. And my friend, in the sight of God, there will be no flesh justified in keeping it. There was a man that came to the Lord one day. He said, Lord, Master, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Christ is not teaching that you got to keep the law. He was trying to prove a point to this man who thought he was so good and said, well, you got to keep all the commandments. And the boy looked at the Lord. He said, this I've done from my youth. Yes, and then the Lord said, well, one thing thou lackest. You think you're so good. You think that you and God have an understanding and that you have been justified by keeping the commandments of the law. He said, do this. He said, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Now, let me ask you a question. Is the Lord revealing to him that a man has to sell everything he owns and give it to the poor that he can inherit eternal life? No. That would be contradiction to clear statements the Lord has made in the Word of God. What is he doing? The Bible said that man turned and went away sorrowful. What did the Lord do? The Lord used the law to show him Two things. Number one, he used the law to show him that he hadn't kept it as much as he thought, that there was covetousness in his heart, that he loved money more than he loved God. And he used the law to show him that he hadn't kept it like he thought he had. He revealed the law, used the law to show him that the law couldn't save him as much as he had kept. Christ said, "You've only failed in one thing thou lackest." You say, "Preacher, I ain't run around on my wife. I ain't shacking. I ain't drinking. I ain't cussing this morning." Good. What's the one thing you have failed in that makes you guilty of all of them? The confines of the law is whatever good you can do, it still will not save you. Notice with me the conclusion of the law. Look with me in Romans chapter 10. Are you there in chapter 3? Look over in Romans chapter number 10. I believe it's verse number 4 that I want this morning. I'm winding down, I promise. I'm winding down. Just stay with me. Romans chapter number 10, and in verse number 4, the Bible said this: "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Here's what Paul said in Romans chapter number 2, speaking about Gentiles, heathens, you and I. He said, when Gentiles do by nature the things that are contained in the law, he said, these have a law written in their heart. Listen, the law came by Moses and was given to Israel. My friend, it was a law of morality. It was a law of a standard of holiness whereby God expected all mankind to live by it. And Paul said, when them Gentiles do by nature the things that was given in the law of Moses, he said, God bears witness against their heart that they're condemned and they're wicked and they have failed the law of God. Listen, Paul comes right back in Romans 10:4 and said, listen, the end of the law, Christ. Christ is the end of the law to everyone that believeth. In other words, God has raised up this holy, high standard in the law of God that He's given that says, I demand of you to live up to this. What do? We do by nature. One day we'll do a good deed. And God said, that's the standard, and you have failed, and you have failed, and you have failed, and you keep failing. How does a man ever come to the conclusion of that law that is set against him? Comes to the day. Amen. Sissy is a testifying a moment ago talking about the Lord God of heaven, the Lord Jesus meeting her where she was. Revealing Himself as the Lord and Savior for mankind. Hallelujah. One day Sissy and one day this young preacher and one day scattered all through this building there are saints of God and Christians and have had a time in their life where they bowed down to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ was the end of the law. Amen. To everyone that believeth. See, the law's against you today. And I'll never get to all this that I'm about ready to just throw out. Hang with me. I'm going to wrap it up right here. The law's against you. That holy, good, and just law that condemns you and I and reminds us how wicked we really are is the law you're going to give an account to God for one day. It'll be the very thing that God pulls out and says, you didn't fail in the eyes of certain social statuses and others you measured yourself to, but they weren't the standard. Here's the standard. And when you fall short, guess what? He'll throw you in a lake of fire and you'll burn forever and forever. Say, preacher, I don't want that. How do I escape? How is the law ended? For Christ is the end of the law to everyone that believeth. Amen. Now, where I wanted to get to today was in Galatians 3. We see the commission or the job of the law. What then is the purpose of the law? You'll find, and I'll pick this back up at a later time, you'll find it's got a suppressive function. In verse number 19, he said, he talked about wherein, what purpose, basically he said, what purpose does the law serve to us then? He said it was given because of our transgression. You know what the law does today? You know what preaching on sin does? And I know we got churches scattered all over Newport today that won't say boo against sin. And I say you can't preach that Bible without preaching sin.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. We run into people all the time. Brother Jack say, well, I go to this church, and usually it's a one-name wonder church.
Right.
Where you can drink, smoke your dope, shack up, fornicate, pierce your body, tattoo your body, and carry on all sorts of wickedness and sin. They won't say nothing. You know what they're doing? They're not preaching the law. The law was given to be have a suppressive function that God knew when mankind sinned. And my friend, we needed something to tell us that's wrong, don't do that. It's given because of transgression. It has a supportive ministry. He said there in verse number, praise God, Brother Dean, thank you. He said, verse 21, is the law then against the promises of God? He said, God forbid. The law is not against the promises that a seed would come and redeem mankind. He said, in fact, the law supports that and lifts it up and reminds us that the promises of God and the law that has been given, that it actually is supporting men believing on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir. Amen.
What I wanted to deal with today is the schooling function of the law. Here's what Paul said, and I'm wrapping up. You said that 10 minutes ago. I'm wrapping up. He said the law was our what? Schoolmaster. Bringing us to Christ. Schoolmaster. It's got a schooling effect. I deal with that sometime, but it deals with a tutor. It deals with a guardian over young boys that were of the upper class in Paul's day. They would have been well acquainted with the word that he used there for schoolmaster. And it was his job to not only provide protection and guidance and direction, but also at times instruction to them. He would teach them little boys things. And I say that's what the law has been given for. You say, but preacher, if I can't be justified by the law, how is it that the law is going to play? Listen, it has a role in that. It brings a man to understand you fail the law.
Right.
You can't live up to the law.
Right.
You can't please God in your flesh, but that there's one that has fulfilled it.
Amen.
Look with me. Can I give you one more passage? Is that okay?
Yes.
Matthew 5. And I'm done. Come on, Sister Candy. Matthew chapter 5. Lord, have mercy. This is awesome. Matthew 5. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Look in Matthew 5. Let me find my verse. Verse number 17. This is Jesus speaking now. He said, think not that I am come to what? Destroy the law. You would think if the law couldn't save us, that God would have just destroyed it and just done something completely different. But His law is unchanging. His law cannot be altered. What He has given His law is law, and there's nothing you or I or the devil or anybody can do about it. His law is law. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, here's our hope, Brother William, but to fulfill. If man's going to be saved, what's he got to do? He's got to fulfill the law. Well, let's fulfill it. Let's keep it. Notice what Jesus said, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Preacher, I'm fulfilling some of it. That ain't what Jesus said. Jesus said it's all got to be fulfilled. If you're going to find righteousness by the law, you got to fulfill every bit of it.
Amen.
That means you can never have failed in the past. You can't be failing now, and you can't fail into the future. You've got to keep it all the days of your life.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's a problem.
Yes, sir.
Right. Would anybody care to stand and profess to us today that you've lived an absolute perfect life? Come on now. Is there anybody would dare stand and say, I've never committed one sin? Jesus is teaching something very important that if you're going to be justified by that law, it must be fulfilled. And it must not only be fulfilled, but all of it must be fulfilled.
Amen.
Notice what he said, whosoever therefore shall break one. Break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach him, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Know what he just taught you? All you got to do is mess up one second of your life, just break one of them, and you have failed the entirety of the law. But here it is. Notice what he said, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. The crowd that tithed, the crowd that dressed right, the crowd that never missed church, the crowd that my friend on the outside had it all together, the scribes and Pharisees, they're the elite of religion of Christ's day. You talk about do it, man, they knew how to do it. But here's what Jesus is saying. They don't even have enough righteousness to inherit the kingdom of heaven. And the only way you could ever get in based on the law is your righteousness would have to exceed their righteousness. Tithe twice in a week. We can't get people in this generation to tithe once in a week. Come on now. They tithe twice in a week. They fasted. They prayed every day, three times a day. Anybody here want to say, yeah, I measure up to that. Ain't ever missed a day praying three times a day. Ain't ever missed a week tithing twice a week. And yet Christ said, when you break one commandment, when you break one part of the law, you've been guilty of all of it. And the only way you could ever get in based on your own righteousness, it would have to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. What are you saying, Pastor Jeff? I'm saying Christ did not come but to do anything but fulfill the law. What you and I cannot feel, could never feel, have never fulfilled, will never fulfill, Christ in His life, born of a virgin, absolutely filled every jot and every tittle of the law and the standard God raised upon mankind. He fulfilled it and then went to Calvary and shed His blood.
Yes, sir.
And laid down His life, a ransom for many. That's why Paul said in Galatians 3 that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. What was against us, He's fulfilled in Himself.
Amen.
That's why you can only be saved believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It ain't Jesus and grandma. It ain't Jesus and baptism. It ain't Jesus and tongue talking. It ain't Jesus and anything. It's Jesus and Jesus alone that saves sinners from their sin. Jesus fulfilled it. Let me ask you a question. Why are you standing quietly? Just stand and look at me for just a moment. We're going to open this altar up. Can I ask you a question? You know what that law does? You remember the story I just told you about the rich young ruler came, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why did he do that? Because there's something on the inside about even though he was trying to keep the law, he was still empty on the inside. I dare say most of us here this morning, it don't take a message like this to convince us that we're sinners. You know the emptiness you're living in. You know the life you're living. You say, you're a mean preacher. You said something about sin. I'm not a mean preacher. I'm telling you today, sin is the problem with our generation. And the reason you're so empty on the inside is God gave a law that in your heart you know you're not living up to. And the only way that void can be fulfilled, can be filled, is understanding Christ Jesus must be your Savior. We're going to open this altar here in just a second. We want you to come. We want you to be saved. We want your life to be changed. Say, preacher, I can't live a Christian life. Join the rest of us. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I live it today because one day I came to Christ. His power changed my life. I am what I am today by the grace of God. If you're tired of that today, if you're at the end of your road, if the Holy Ghost has dealt with your heart and showed you your sin and that you're a sinner, would you respond to that? Come, we'll take the Bible. Brother Jerry's down here. You men, if you know that, Brother Jerry, take the Bible. I'll take the Bible. Brother Tim will take the Bible. We got several men. Take the Bible and the Word of God. And my friend, we'll appoint you the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can believe on Him and be saved. You ladies here this morning, my wife's here, got a Bible in her hand. Sissy can take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Betty can take the Bible and show you how to be saved. We'll take you and point you the Lord Jesus Christ today, the one that fulfilled the law that you and I could be saved. Would you mind the Lord? Father, help us now. Bless every heart. Lord, we've tried to preach and remind folk that it's not in our goodness. It's not in the goodness of our family, but it's in what Christ Jesus came to do. Lord, we want to bless His name today. Bless Your name that You sent Him to die for our sin. Lord, thank You for the day You came by our way, convicted us of our sin and our sinfulness, and over the fact that we was a sinner. Lord, You led us to Lord Jesus Christ. We bless Your name for that. Do it again, Lord, in some sinner's heart. Lord, those that are saved, I pray, would be reminded again. Lord, may they even come and fall on their face and give glory and thanks to God for the grace of God that has changed their life. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. No one's looking around. We have every head bowed, every eye closed. There's a few saved folk come to pray today. And as usual, we want to open up our invitation day, inviting those that you know you're saved. You know you're born again. You know Jesus has changed your life. Won't you come get on the altar, thank Him for it today. Thank Him for doing what you couldn't do, that you could have what He had to offer. This morning, that's it. Mind the Lord. You know you're saved. Just come thank the Lord for it. And while they're coming and while they're praying, I want to ask a question now. No one's looking around. Me and the Holy Ghost of God looking on, would there be one man, one woman? Would there be anybody here this morning would say, Pastor Jeff, I covet your prayers. I need your prayers. I have to be honest, I'm a sinner. I've never been saved. My life has never been changed. Preacher, would you please pray for me? Is there one anywhere this morning, you just raise your hand and say, Preacher, that's me in the building. I ain't going to embarrass you. I ain't going to drag you down this aisle. I ain't going to force you to do anything you don't want to do. But would there be one say, Preacher, all I want right now is for you to remember me in prayer. I'm lost. I'm a sinner. Bless you, ma'am. Preacher, I'm another in the building this morning. I'm another in the building this morning. I've never been saved. My life has never been changed. Preacher, please pray for me. I'm not saved today. I need your prayers. Is there another? Is there another? How many say this morning, my uplifted hand, Preacher, I know I'm saved. There's no doubt about it. I can uplift my hand. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I'm born again. Hold your hand up there. Now, if you don't know that, don't raise it now. Preacher, I know that I'm saved. Just hold it right there for just a moment now. Come on now, be honest about it. I know I'm saved. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for being honest. You can put your hand down. Listen, there's several different kind of folk in this service this morning. There's those that are saved and glad about it. Saved and know it. There's been a few this morning raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I'm lost and I know it, and I want you to pray for me." Then there's a whole other crowd here today. You just don't know, or you just think, "Man, it ain't none of that preacher's business." Can I say today, maybe you're right, but I love you enough to. I love you enough. If I seen you in your car, about ready to run off a cliff and be slain and killed, ain't none of my business. Ain't my car. But you know what I'd do? I'd get out the best of my ability and flag you down. Do everything I could to stop you from going over that cliff and perishing. Can I say this morning? Your life's your business. There are people today here, and I'm not being mean, but your life's on that broad way that Jesus said ends in destruction. It ends in hellfire and damnation, eternally separated from God. My business as a Christian, my business especially as a preacher, do all I can to wave the flag. Try and get your attention. Try and stop you before you go off the cliff of eternity and spend forever separated from God in a place called hell. We love you enough today to tell you the truth. Would you mind the Lord? Father, one more time in Jesus' name, I pray you'd help us. Lord, there's some today, raise your hand. They know they're not saved. Lord, there's others couldn't raise your hand, Lord, that they were saved. And Lord, we pray for them as well. Father, have you with them way, I pray this morning. May we understand there's a great schoolmaster who's holy, just, and good. Stands today reminding men and women of their sinfulness. Reminding men and women and boys and girls of their sentence being lost and undone. But that Lord stands there reminding and teaching men and women and boys and girls of the salvation that's offered in Jesus Christ. Father, I pray you go with folk today as we leave saved and lost alike. Speak to our hearts, Lord, in the minutes and hours of the rest of this day. Lord, we'll bless you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You can look this way. I do want to say this morning, I appreciate your attention.